Support for Living on Earth comes from listeners like you. To make a donation, please use the link to the left of this webpage. And thanks.
For us, this is the sound of the sea. But creatures that live under the waves have a totally different soundscape, one that human activities have made increasingly noisy, a cacophony that could be disturbing sea life that depends on sound to survive. Living on Earth's Ike Sriskandaraja prepared our report.
À la découverte d'un monde étrange, presque inconnu,
Jacques Cousteau called the ocean the silent world. And he gave that name to his 1956 underwater documentary,
Le Monde du Silence.
But while it's mostly silent to us, to its regular residents, the ocean can sound like a busy street corner. And research from two ocean scientists shows us the significance of sound in the sea. The first study comes from David Mann, an associate professor of biological oceanography at the University of South Florida. He recorded these bottlenose dolphins around Tampa Bay.
Yeah, it's an underwater recording, middle of the night. Everything you hear in there is completely natural sound. There's a dolphin whistling at high frequencies, and then there are fish sounds, which most people don't know about, that are lower frequencies. So it sounds like, you know, the fish sounds are like bop, 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 bop. And so it's interesting for people, I think, for a number of points. One is that, you know, there's a lot of animals in the ocean using sound for communication.
Mann says every dolphin has its own signature whistle. That's how a baby dolphin identifies its mom through all the other calls around it. Just like if we met, and I'd say, hi, I'm Ike.
For example, in bottlenose dolphins, this whistle is basically, you know, saying like, Bob, 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 or whatever, you know, my name.
But whistles aren't just to identify which dolphin is Bob. They also tell them where they are and what's around. Being able to hear is vital. For dolphins, deafness is disorienting.
In the dolphin's world, if you even have a 40 decibel hearing loss, your range of echolocation is going to drop by 100-fold. And that's basically making the animal blind.
For 5 years, David Mann would rush to the beach whenever he heard of a stranded dolphin. And he'd give the dolphin a hearing test.
This is completely non-invasive. It's the same exact test that they use with human infants to test for deafness. And so the one difference is, you know, we don't have headphones per se for dolphins. We use what we call a jawphone, which is simply a small speaker in a suction cup.
So the dolphin would have a speaker on its jaw and a suction cup on the top of its head to monitor brainwaves. The brainwaves show up as a line on a little portable screen.
You know, they'll play a sound to you like boop, boop, boop.
In a healthy dolphin, the brainwaves go wild at that tone. But a lot of the time, David was staring at flat lines.
You know, the first time we thought our equipment wasn't working because it's basically you're not getting any electrical response off the brain when you play sound to it. But then we started seeing this more, you know, more than one time. And we also had animals at the same location that had normal hearing. So
over the 5 years Mann and his team conducted these tests, they found that more than half of the bottlenose dolphins that beached themselves had significant hearing loss. But he thinks that just might be part of being a dolphin.
Deafness in humans is not uncommon, and there's no reason to suspect that dolphins are going to be any different than humans.
But there's another possibility. Human-made sounds might be hurting their hearing in ways we don't understand.
If you start running, you know, hundreds or thousands of ships on the same shipping channel back and forth all the time, and you raise the background noise like 30 or 40 decibels on average continuously, now you're affecting lots and lots of animals. And it's happening out in the middle of the ocean, so it's a lot actually harder to figure out what the effects are.
David Mann isn't the only scientist wrestling with that question. So is Susan Parks.
So that's the joy of science.
Parks is an assistant professor of acoustics at Penn State. She studies how ocean noise might affect one of the ocean's largest and rarest inhabitants, the right whale.
Right. Yeah, so right whales are highly endangered, and there are about 400 left in the North Atlantic right now.
They're so rare now because they were the right whales to hunt, and man is still the danger.
These whales are living in an area that's highly influenced by human activities, similar to animals that might live in a city. Most things that people do in the ocean, either intentionally or inadvertently, produce sound as a byproduct. The one that we think about a lot with the species I study are the sounds generated from commercial shipping. It's only been about 100 years that these ships have been in the ocean. And then if you look at the number of ships has been steadily increasing, particularly over the past 40 or 50 years.
Parks wanted to know how that had affected right whales.
One of the simplest ways to test this was to use recordings from the 1950s when there were fewer ships in the ocean to ones made in sort of modern time when there was a higher level of background noise.
Go to the tapes. The first was recorded in 1956, the same year Jacques Cousteau called the ocean the silent world. The tape, made by William Chaville of the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institute, is a little scratchy. 50 years later, Parkes made another recording of right whales at the Bay of Fundy, where Maine meets Canada.
The main difference between the two recordings, and if you listen to it, you can hear that the sounds produced by right whales in the 1950s, there's actually been a shift upwards of about 30 hertz for this species.
What's that, like an octave?
It's a little less than an octave, yeah.
So today, are right whales more falsetto?
Well, it's all still pretty low frequency.
So they sing higher to cut through the ship noise. And they also sing louder. As we ratchet up our volume, so do the whales. But perhaps there's a limit.
It's possible that when the noise level exceeds a certain threshold, they just stop calling.
And Park says that could make the lonesome leviathans even more solitary.
Individual right whales don't make a lot of calls. They're relatively sort of the strong silent type. In an endangered population, this is particularly of concern because there are fewer individuals out there. And so they're in the same ocean, and they need to find each other to mate and to relocate their offspring.
But how these elusive whales will actually cope with an increasingly noisy world is still an open question.
So you've sort of gotten to the heart of why I study whale communication. We don't know.
But we do know that the ocean never was Cousteau's silent world. Life in the ocean has always been noisy. But now there are 4 billion more people than there were in 1956. With all the decibels human trade and industry generate in the oceans, navigating through the din is the 21st century challenge for sea life. For Living on Earth, I'm Ike Srikandaraja.